Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Memphis shit. Let's go hook him up!
I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is off the
plate. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I'm your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by one of my co-hosts so far, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Not much. How are you doing tonight, Ed?
I'm actually doing pretty good. Had a good day today, and I'm actually checking out the Block Talk Radio made an upgrade. And besides the old switchboard that I could look at, they now have something called the studio version, and it's actually a little more updated and cooler, and it's actually working pretty good, so that's kind of cool. So now, we are waiting. Oh, hold on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you heard from Contreras tonight? He made a revelation on your Facebook page. He has some news.
Yeah, he sent me a text saying that right before he was getting ready to take off from work, that a whole shitload of people came in. So once again, he might be a little late tonight. So we'll see what he has to say. Who knows? He could have had like about 20 beers when he made that post. You never know with Contreras.
That's very true.
And plus the fact that he can't quit the show because we're using his page, and it's a paid page, so. We will be going to Skype very soon if Kitcher quits. Because I'm not paying Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, I hear that. So,
so hopefully he'll be on soon. But tonight we got I'm actually pretty excited for our guest. He's always one of my guilty pleasures of pro wrestling. I mean, I was always a mark, I'm sorry, and I shouldn't be, because I should be against everything Disco stands and is, but I was always a mark for the Disco Inferno.
I'll say, whoever posted, I can't remember, I'm sorry, the guy that posted the video on the board, I watched that today and howled with laughter the finish of using a disco ball as a foreign object. It's just amazing. So if you're anywhere near the board, check out that clip from Daily Motion. That's good stuff.
You need to get with Adam Forel or Mike Schipperdivi, and we need to get that guy Kurosawa on the show just so we can talk about him having to take a bump for a very, very super, super light shot with a disco ball to the wall of the back, to see how to sell like he was dead. Because the referee wasn't even in the ring. He had to get in the ring to make the count. So that
must
have been very fun. That must have been very fun. I think they said he was like in the Olympics. And, you know, I'm sure he was a serious All-Japan wrestler. And had to do the job for that. That was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge disco ball that actually dropped from the ceiling. And Kurosawa has to sell this thing, which, you know, if a guy was swinging it, it's gonna kill you. But, you know, Disco's light in the ring, and he takes it in the back. He takes a bump, and I don't know how the ref was so so intent on watching the match that he missed this huge disco ball ascending from the ceiling. And, yeah, it's just phenomenal. So go to the board, check that out. I giggled and giggled watching that.
Yeah. Now, at that time, I was watching Raw and only slightly switching over to Nitro. So do we know who the fat guy in the disco suit was?
I really honestly don't know. They called him the Disco Dude. That's all I remember hearing. I have no recollection of that angle or anything. So we'll play dumb when it's brought up. So.
Yeah, I don't. I have no clue as to who. At first, I thought it was Dean Malenko since he was shooting with Dean Malenko at the time, but Dean was never
that pushy. Disco has had some great matches with some. I mean, I don't take this the wrong way, and I hope he won't either. But he was a mid-carder, and. Man, he got to work some great guys. Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Psychosis, you name it. And this guy got to work with Tokyo Magnum, Kidman, Juventud. I mean, goodness. He got to work with a lot of dudes. And it's really cool that, no knock on the guy. Okay, he was a mid-carder, and he got to work with some amazing talent.
I'm sure he was very fine with his position because he had plenty of TV time. I mean, he was always on. I mean,
totally.
Yeah, even in that big fucking 10-ring battle royal with 1,000 people in it, him and Alex Wright lasted to like the last group. So, they did all right for themselves.
So I told Disco we'd call about 7 minutes after the top of the hour, and this is going to be some awkward silence with just me and No Contrer on the other end of the line.
Yeah, this is going to be kind of weird here. So I got to, I'm going to have to dial the number here, Craig. So you actually are going to have to talk about something, so I have no idea,
yeah.
But... Contreras not up yet. Let me check one last time. No Contreras. So let's see what you can do here. I'll be back in a couple minutes with our guest here.
So what to talk about?
You're not starting off very good, Craig. You're not starting off very good.
Yeah, I know. I'm clearing my throat and acting like I'm in, going to say something really, really great, but that's not the case. Raw was pretty good this weekend. I'm looking forward to the pay-per-view this Sunday. I think the R-Truth and John Cena match is actually going to be pretty good. I think when those guys have to step up, I think it's going to be a good match. I'm really looking forward to Christian and Randy Orton. If Randy Orton can go, he's got the concussion. We'll see if they turn it into an angle or who knows what. So anyway, aside from that, thought TNA was... not bad last night. The new thing they're doing with the X division is very cool. Good to see Austin Aries back in a TNA ring. Of course, it's good to see him in any ring, to be honest with you, but he's great, and they had a great three-way match with Kid Cash and also Jimmy Rave last night. So go out of your way to see that if you haven't seen that. My God.
Great. Okay. Craig, go ahead and introduce our guest, please.
Our guest this evening has three things on his to-do list for this weekend. Do a little dance, make a little love, and get down tonight. Please welcome to the show, the Disco Inferno, Glenn Gilberti.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Glenn. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you guys. I haven't done a wrestling radio interview in a while. Kind of hope I don't... make a poor showing of myself, I guess, if you want to call it that.
I don't think that would be possible.
Yeah, with this show, the standards are pretty low. First things first, I got to ask you, we have a mutual friend in Mr. Mike Sawyer, and he wanted to know about your ankle, your foot. Are you okay right now?
It's better. So it's like almost 98%, I would say. I bet. Okay. Horses, you know, the guys at work try to pretend that we're younger than we are. And, we always go get together and play sports, you know. So we decided to play flag football one day. Uh-huh. And, like, you know, like when you work out in the gym for years, it's like different. You know, you're on the treadmill, it's like soft, you know, you're riding the bike and stuff. When you go out and you're running in the grass, it's like, it's different. So it was like, as soon as I was out there running around, I haven't done that in like 10 years, I'm like, this just doesn't feel right. And sure enough, after about like 5 minutes, I took a bad step and I broke my foot.
Oh.
And the worst part about it is I go see my first doctor. She takes the x-ray. She goes, God, I don't know what you did, but like, you messed this up really bad. You'll probably have to get screws on. I'm like, oh my God, you'd be kidding me. I go to my orthopedic guy. He goes, good news is, he goes, it's the most common fracture. He goes, we call this a ballerina fracture. I go, well, I can't tell people that, bro. When you call it the football
right.
fracture or something, I was like, come on.
Oh, that's funny. Awesome.
Now, this, so it's been quite a while since you, well, actually, you were on TNA a couple weeks ago, and we'll talk about that a little later, but it's actually been quite a while since you've done anything else in wrestling. I was like, are you, for the most part, are you done, or can we only just expect to see you on special occasions, or what's the status of the career?
I'm not, you're never retired in wrestling, as long as people are going to pay you to do it, but I just pick my spots. I mean, I just work for guys that pay me, that are going to pay me a good price, and I know there's going to be people there. You know, like, you sell pictures and stuff and everything, and plus, I still go overseas, like, once a year. I do the tour for, Henry Hubbard does it, the overseas tour. We tour the Army bases and stuff and everything, and I'll do that in October. But I stay in, I'm in great shape right now. I mean, like, a couple years ago, I just started, like, taking biking seriously, and it just did this, mostly, it's what it did in my cardio was just incredible. Like, I when I go to the gym, I bike and I bring my heart rate up like really high, like you know, 150, 160 for like intervals and stuff. And ever since I started doing that, you know, like when you go work a show and you haven't worked in a while, you know, I see guys in any shows that haven't worked and they get so blown up, they like pass out backstage and stuff. If I went and wrestled a match right now and went like 12 to 15 minutes with a guy, I can go and I get back afterwards and I'm not really even breathing that hard. That's how good my cardiovascular is. And if I would have known this like 15 years ago, I mean, it would have been off the charts.
Now,
another thing
cool.
besides wrestling, I saw you just blowing up your Facebook last week. What are your thoughts on the Mavs winning the NBA title?
Oh, it's just a great, great story and lesson learned, you know. I mean, like, yeah, it's just the Miami Heat, that, you know, unbeknownst to the, you know, even though their fans are oblivious to it, were like the biggest heels that have ever come across in sports in like the past 20 years. You know, it's like they went out, like everything they did was like a heel promo, you know, to start the year. You know, we're gonna, you know, LeBron basically, you know, not even realizing that, you know, the decision, he thought that everybody goes like, you know, the decision raised a lot of money for the boys and girls. Like, no, bro. It's like, you ruined a lot of lives in Cleveland. I mean, there's, you know, like, the common man, like the guy that owns a sports bar that relied a lot on the Cavs, like, you know, people coming in and watching the games each night, like, or like, you know, if you're a Cavs fan, like, it was fun to go out and socialize, watch the Mavs, you watch the Cavs game and everything. It's like, you basically took that away from them. You know, from a whole community, and the way you did it was like just pissed on them. You know, you could have like said, hey, look, I'm looking for my message. I want to look for my family, but you know, you don't come out there and just announce like the way he did it. And then they went down and bro, I've never, you know, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, even Kobe, nobody would ever like celebrate before they've ever done nothing. You know, like these guys made it sound like, you know, since we got these guys together, we're just going to be the champs. Give us the belts, you know. I mean, it's like we're gonna win it. We're gonna hold it forever and everything. And just everybody should just like celebrate, you know. Well, when you do that, you're gonna get. And when you talk that much crap, you don't back it up. You're gonna get ridiculed and humiliated, which is what people should be doing. Like Heat fans, the Heat and the fans should be taking a beating right now because, you know, when you talk that much stuff, you don't back it up, you're just gonna get just embarrassed. And you know, you deserve it. And I just thought it was a fantastic story. Just, I mean, you know, I mean, bro, you go to the sports books in Vegas and watch the games, that there wasn't one single person cheering for the Heat in those games. It was
right.
Great. Not one person, you know.
Did you see Deshaun Stevenson's shirt? His "Hey LeBron, tell me how my dirt tastes."
I was marking out for that. Yeah. Well, it was probably one of those deals where like a fan said, "Hey, put this shirt on." He put it on, took a picture of it, and put it up on Twitter. On, you know, and then it blew up. And I would doubt he was probably walking around with that shirt for an extended period of time. But you know, but well, you never know. He got the drunk, you know, partying a little bit too hard and got arrested. he kind of like a heel too, you know. He's a little bit low class about the way he was celebrating and everything. He paid for it.
That's
too.
True.
That's a good, just a good victory for karma, in this whole thing, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's funny. There's like a lot of craziness. Like, I mean, just besides that, let's just look at like this past week with the hockey and Canadian fans.
Oh yeah. Oh my God! When the guy, but this guy's blowing up my Facebook. A friend of mine from Vancouver, after two games, he's listing the possible Conn Smythe candidates on his Facebook page. Okay, you know, all Vancouver guys. So of course Boston, you know, and the thing was, it's like, just the way they won. You know, the guy bites the finger, you know, and it's unbelievable the guy didn't get suspended because, like, you know, like what a heelish move that is, like. Like, did you even ask the guy to look? Did you bite the guy's fingers? Like, you should just admit it. It's like, no, I didn't do it. Whatever he knows that he did, okay? Then he goes down and does the game one of the next game. So you knew that karma was just going to bite those guys in the ass, too. And, you know, and it did. And it's funny. It's funny because I got a lot of Canadian friends on my Facebook page, and they're all like, you know, before the games, like, oh, hockey night is awesome, blah, blah, blah. And now they're just eating crow, too, which is great.
Yeah. Well, we'll go ahead and switch over to the pro wrestling side of the interview here. And you actually started around 1991, and according to Wikipedia, it actually said you did some work with the World Wrestling Federation, and I really don't remember that. Could you tell us about that?
No, that's inaccurate. You got to say it. Anybody can go on Wikipedia and, mm-hmm. and put down information for yourself.
We know.
There's a lot of inaccurate stuff on like Wikipedia for WWE. Yeah, that never worked. Never worked for WWE. Never met Vince McMahon face to face either.
Okay,
the closest I came was when Brian Clark was doing his tryout match for WWE. I went with him because I think it was in Charleston, South Carolina. We drove down together, and I went back. I went to the bar after the show. And Vince McMahon was in the bar, but I never, you know, I was still just a greenhorn. Like, I never, you know, I didn't really know anybody. Just went and just hung out with him. But I never met Vince McMahon.
Okay. And, well, could you tell us about your start before you made it to WCW? Can you tell us about some of the shows you worked in?
Just your basic $20 indie, you know, south, you know, southern indie worker where I was working the Georgia circuit, you know, making 20 to 50 bucks a match. I got lucky. I had, I went to the gym I worked out at, Paige worked out at, and, I buddied up with him and Raven because we all worked out in the same gym. And we, of course, the workers all know each other. And Paige liked my gimmick and hooked me up with, Jake the Snake. And he got me over to, Mississippi where they were starting up this new organization over there. Where I met Terry Taylor, and you know, just this. Well, a lot of guys like, you know, still green, but a lot of guys like my gimmick, you know. So it's just basically the gimmick itself sold itself and got my foot in the door, and I nailed my tryout when I went to WCW for when I had my tryout match. So it's just, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have. I mean, my skills were pretty average for an indie guy, but I never had trouble with. I was never, ever nervous out there, like from day one. I just felt, you know, I went out there and acted like, you know, my character's going to act like a jackass. I had no problem doing it. And I just felt really natural. And I knew what, you know, I studied the right stuff coming up. I mean, you know, I didn't really care much for, like, Japanese wrestling stuff or anything. I used to watch guys like Honky Tonk Man and Piper and, you know, just... And watch the stuff that they did that I liked, that I thought was entertaining, and just kind of, you know, try to imitate it. You know, because like anybody, you know, you don't really need to do a lot of stuff. You gotta have a gimmick that's not that you have to, but it's easy when you have something that people can imitate. If people are imitating you, then you know that you're over. So, and the gimmick was just easy to imitate.
Now, when like, let's say before you come out behind the stage and you come into the ring, is there like a switch you switch to become the character, or are you just so natural, like charismatic that it's just you when you walk out there? There's, like, there's no switch. It's just you just walk out there.
It's a switch because I'm kind of a laid back t-shirt and jeans guy. Still kind of a loud mouth to my friends. You know, we always argue sports and stuff and everything and all that. And I'm still a pretty funny guy. Like I don't mind humor, like where the joke's on me, and I'll dish it out and like I can take it. I don't care if it's something funny, it's funny. But I've always been pretty funny, you know, like humorous type of guy. So the character itself is kind of like, you know, I just go out there, and I've always felt like, let me just go entertain somebody. You know, let me, if I can make some people laugh and smile and stuff and boo or whatever, it was just kind of easy back then, you know, just like learning to draw the type of emotions from the fans you wanted. And that's the one thing I like picked up like at a pretty early stage of my career.
Now, you probably don't remember this, but a few years ago, I would guess it was probably five or more, you were actually working up in Washington State, and I had one of the most entertaining times of my life sitting in the balcony with you and my friend Brian Alvarez and a bunch of indie workers.
Yeah, Brian Alvarez, I specifically remember that. We're in a balcony. Yeah, no,
right.
And I remember, and the thing about that, I remember I walked to a coffee, and then, like, we were on, like, a... The building was like on the top of a hill somewhere, wasn't it? Kind of like
exactly.
And I just remember it was like, well, you know, we had to walk through this. I walked through this coffee shop, and I was like, God, this town's just built really weird, you know? It's like real hilly and stuff and all that. And then you don't really see that like anywhere else. But yeah, we just out there with Albert and just shooting shit again. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We were up there, and we were having some cocktails and watching Raven in the ring, and. Oh, man,
right?
I laughed so hard that evening. I had such a great time.
Yeah.
Where did you come up with the disco gimmick? In a million years, I wouldn't have been able to think of that.
Well, Raven had a tape of this guy called Johnny Holiday, who was doing a gimmick like that in Canada like a couple years before me, but he did it really, really bad. And he like didn't really go over the top with it. He just put on like he had like wrestling trunks and boots and put a white jacket on and went out there and tried to act like a disco guy. And he didn't last long doing the gimmick, but Raven had tapes of it because he'd worked there before. So I could do that. And he was like, you know, and basically just came up. It was basically just let's brainstorm on a gimmick and an idea, and just got together with Raven, came up with that, and just boom. Then that was it. It was, you know. If it wasn't for him, I never would have come up with the gimmick.
You still keep in contact with Raven?
Not that much anymore. I'm kind of out of touch with my wrestling friends just because I haven't really been in the business that much that long, and I don't really watch it that much on a regular basis. But I still talk to like Mark Mann on a regular basis. Like we talk a lot of mostly non-related wrestling stuff.
Right. I'm surprised the guys don't hit you up in Vegas to get in the club for free and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. But make sure you call the club to pick you up, because that's the thing about Vegas. If you come to the strip joints in cabs or limos, you pay cover because we kick back to the drivers. So if you ever go to Vegas, if you want to go to the club, always call the club to pick you up. They'll pick it for free and get you in for free.
Oh yeah, Mike Sawyer always takes care of me when I go down.
Right. Well, that's good. Yeah.
But you actually got. You were constantly on the Saturday Night Show, and basically you're always on TV on WCW. And I was just going to ask, what were some of your favorites?
Me and Jeff Jarrett had a discussion about that, and like we thought we were talking one day, like we were sitting saying, like who probably during the Monday Night Wars, who probably logged the most actual minutes in the ring during that period of time. And we were like, well shit, we agreed it was I was close, because you had to basically go over guys that never really got hurt, you know? So we basically like came up with a list of like
you really couldn't find guys because, like Eddie had gotten hurt, Benoit gotten hurt, and some of the others. A lot of these guys got hurt, but myself, Jeff, and Booker T never really had an extended period of time. We were out, and the three of us specifically, a lot of us would do it, but, we wrestled a lot of two-segment matches. You know, back in the day, when it first started, you had the two segments. You'd wrestle the commercial break, come back. I was very, I was all over TV. I mean, they never, wrestling. I mean, I put on a lot of wrestling hours, during that time. And I worked all the Saturday night shows, too. Booker T worked all the Saturday night shows. Jeff didn't work, worked some of them, but, there was a period of, the funny thing about it is, I joked that Raven was the only guy that beat me on WCW Saturday night in 2 years. I lost one match in 2 years of Saturday night, and I beat Terry Horowitz 8 times.
Now, how do you compare the Saturday night show, which was at Center Stage or another central location, small venues, compared to the night show, which would be at big arenas and even stadiums sometimes? What did you prefer? Did you just prefer the big?
Take the big shows, yeah. You like the big shows and more people in the crowd. This is the Saturday night shows, which is you basically just enhance the matches. And, you didn't, like I said, you wrestle the same guy a bunch of times. And it's just, hard to have the same match with the guy over and over and over. An enhancement match, when you're supposed to go over and the crowd knows you're supposed to go over and everybody in the TV audience knows, everybody knows you're supposed to go over, it's hard to figure creative ways to have 6 minutes on TV when you do it every week. So it's that creatively is a pretty hard thing to do. You just have to just a showcase of all your signature moves. Is all it really is. So, nobody really liked doing that because on the main show, it was just more, more variety. More things you could do, more people in the crowd. You're live, which for some reason, I don't know why, but guys always had better matches live than they did taped. just adrenaline. It's different,
Right.
Now you work with some incredible... Oh, go ahead, Craig.
I was just going to ask, what are your thoughts on your feud with Dean Malenko?
It was the first... the thing about it was... It was entertaining, but I go back and watch that match. People at the time thought it was really good, and I was I watched it. I didn't think it was that great. Well, why did everybody think it was such a special? I don't know. Maybe because I'd never worked at one of those. Had a long match with that core guys. Back then it was. Everybody had this thing where Benoit, Eddie, and Dean were
right.
Great workers that everybody wanted to work with and stuff and all that. And it was the first time I ever got a chance to have 15 minutes with the guy,
Right.
And it was good, but it wasn't when I go back and watch the match, I was just to be honest, not to toot my own horn to go, but I kind of made this match. I was, the only one that was selling. I was the only one that was animated. I made it look a lot better than it really was. Because, I don't know. Dean's strong point was offense. He didn't sell well. I'm watching the match. I'm like, oh, God. I should have laid this stuff in more to make it look better. It looks like he's kicking the shit out of me. What I'm doing to him is, it doesn't really look as good,
That's funny. Go ahead, Ed.
Now, you worked, besides Dean, you worked like other greats like Eddie Guerrero, and just basically because you were positioned in the mid-card during the Midnight Wars, you were wrestling pretty much all the great workers. And I was wondering, who stands out as your favorite guy to work? And is there any guys that
I'll tell you this. There's no question. I don't want to come across like what I should do when I come across. Because, to toot my own horn here, in the professional wrestling business, not a lot of guys have actually worked, booked, and my thing was before I ever got into wrestling, I got to get that 7-hour block of wrestling on Georgia TV, the Joe Pedicino shows, We had 7 hours of wrestling from all parts of the country. I watched that as a fan, every hour of it, for like 7 to 8 straight years. Okay, so I watched, from guys in the business, I think I may have watched more wrestling than anybody that had been that was in the business. Because, like, you talk about guys like, you know, I had this argument with Jeff Jarrett one time. He's like, oh, you know, whatever. I go, Jeff, I go, when you were on the road watching the same matches every night, I go, I was, you know, at home watching different stuff. Like, I got more priority. You grew up in Memphis
right.
wrestling. You don't want, you know, guys in the business don't get to watch the other shows. You're working.
Right.
It's like 7:30, you know, 7:30 to 10 at night. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to come across as like a the supreme authority, but I don't think it's hard. You'd be hard to find a person that has watched more and knows more about the business from the in ring to outside the ring to as a fan. Combine all three of those together than myself. Okay, and
right.
without a doubt, okay, and I'll argue this till anybody wants to argue me, Eddie Guerrero is head and shoulders. There's nobody even close the best worker I've ever seen or been in the ring with. Okay, he blew Benoit away 10 times better than Benoit. He was so much better than everybody else. It was ridiculous. He was just so good. I had a match with Flair one time, and like I said, wrestling Flair is like wrestling a textbook because he makes it so easy for
right.
you. But it's, you know, it's a Flair match. You can take a person off the streets and stick him out there, and like he get him a Flair match. You know, you don't even really have
right.
to know how to work. Flair can guide you through a match, but it's the same match. You know. But Eddie was just so good with everything. I mean, his punches, you know, his brawling looked good. His selling was great. His athleticism. He was a smaller guy, but you overlooked his size because he wrestled like he could kick a bigger guy's ass. And he acclimated the Mexican style and. You know, the American style, and Japanese, he could do anything. He was by far the single best guy I've ever been in the ring with. And, you know, I bet you're probably hard-pressed to find him. I had this conversation with Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle agrees. Eddie Guerrero is by far the single best guy I've ever been in the ring with. And it's not even close. There's nobody even close.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You were featured on the Unreal Story of Professional Wrestling. It was, A&E. And there is a shot
that's
of you awesome. Wrestling Laparca, and Laparca
right.
throws a kick to you when you're bent over and misses by a country mile. But it looks so
right.
amazing. So with that
right.
said, who is the stiffest guy you've been in the ring with? Who's snug?
No, you'll laugh. I've never been clotheslined harder than I was by Miss Jacqueline. When I had the guy versus the girl match, he clocked me in the jaw and lit me up, and I was like, I've never been. I swear to God, her arm is like she's a tough girl. Her arm is like
mm-hmm.
a little wooden club, and she doesn't really know how to, you know, work that well. So she's pretty stiff. She almost knocked me out cold. That's the hardest I've ever been hit in a wrestling match, and that's true. I'm just no lie. I've been clotheslined by Rick Steiner and stuff and all these guys, but everybody knows how to work. You know, like
right.
Like, she wasn't that good of a worker, and she was a strong little chick, you know, and it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like, that's the hardest I've ever been hit. Because of my gimmick, you know, nobody really knew that he had, you know, we always had kind of like that, the type of match where you didn't have to, like, you know, kill each other, but
right.
Nobody was really stiff. I'll tell you, the worst guy I've ever been in the ring with is by far is Beefcake. I mean, he had no clue. And he didn't really know what he was doing. I had better matches with Virgil than I did with him. Because Virgil, at least, you know, yeah, oh yeah, you know, Virgil's kind of lousy, but
mm-hmm.
he actually got to sit ringside, you know, for years and watch Ted DiBiase wrestle. So when
right.
you had a match with him or going over it, the guy knew what to do. It's like he had a clue. You know, you can't not have a clue watching Ted wrestle for, you know, 500-600 matches and not know, like, you know, what works. So, but Beefcake was clueless. His work was terrible. He forgot everything. He didn't know how to put anything together. It was awful.
Hold on.
I'm getting this from Wikipedia, so let me warn you in advance. But it's mentioning, you just mentioned Jacqueline. And what was the deal with you refused to do a job to her or something?
Well, yeah, well, the thing was is back then is, boy, these are old. I almost forget some of the details of these so long ago. It had never been done before. A guy had never gone out there and wrestled a girl and, like did the job. And the thing was, I went to, you know, they approached me to do it. My contract only had 4 months to go. And when I said, okay, what do you guys, you know, I mean, where does my character go from there? Eric was, he gave me one idea of what he wanted to do. But then Kevin Sullivan saying, why is he disappearing for 6 months? So I'm just like sitting there going, wait a second. All right, you know, you guys are going to job me out to a girl. And my contract expires in four months, and you want to make me disappear for six?
Mm.
So I'm asking all my friends, what should I do? You know, and they and every single person, even people on the booking committee, were telling me just don't tell them no, you can't do that. That's crazy. And I said no, and he said, well, I got to fire you. I'm like, all right, do what you got to do.
Mm.
But it wasn't like I got advice from everybody, and then there wasn't one single person said I should do it based on under those conditions. You know, what are you going to do? Go get beat by a girl and then just get fired? Come on. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, since we don't have a ton of time with you, so we need to let you go here in a few minutes. One of my favorite things to see on TNA, and there's been nothing this good on TNA in a very long time, you're backstage and you're talking gimmicks. I can't remember exactly who it is, but you brought up the evil architect, Bill Ding.
Yeah.
And, I've been in long car rides with guys, and we'll come up with wacky gimmicks for guys like my friend Bill. We were going to call him Willie B. Hurt. And what else do you got in that brain of yours?
The evil architects, Artie Fact and Doug Hole. the funny thing about it is before TNA ever started. Me and Russo and Borash and stuff, everything, we had brainstormed a lot of ideas, like a lot of gimmicks and stuff, everything. And like, I remember one of them was like, you know, because we wanted like the characters to be kind of like, you know, silly / over the top / still legitimate, you know. And like, one of the ones that never got the TV, but would be great. We wanted a bunch of Hasidic Jew badasses, and we were going to call them the Jew Tang Clan. that's always been like my favorite one, but I just thought it'd be funny to someone like, could you imagine a couple jacked up guys, you know, with the ponytails and the yarmulkes on and everything and all that,
right.
But still kind of dressed like a little ghetto. But they go out there and they
amazing.
Kill people, you know.
And if you could get a black guy in there to grow the sideburns,
the curly
sideburns, you know, oh, it'd be amazing.
Right, yeah exactly. And we had like, you know, we had like backstories for, so we had like Wings Piedmont, the evil pilot, and the whole backstory on him was like, I guess WWE had a problem over on one of their flights, and like, we're going to say this is the guy that was the pilot that was on the flight, and he lost his job because of it, and he's actually a Navy SEAL, you know, his background, he was like an ultimate fighter, he knows jiu-jitsu and everything, and he wanted to get back into professional wrestling, get revenge on all the wrestlers for having him lose his job as a pilot.
I like it. Brian came up with an 80s rocker type gimmick, but he was a little bit out of shape, and he'd be Unskinny Bob, and he'd come out to Poison's
right.
Unskinny Bob. Yeah.
Unskinny Bob, right.
There's
so many gimmicks you could do that, like, nobody would have the guts to do them, but if you actually tried it, it might work, you know?
Right.
I'm thinking of gimmicks. One of my favorite things from the Monday Night Wars is, actually, it started off as a feud, and then you guys started teaming, but one of my favorite things from Nitro was getting to see you and Alex Wright having the dance-offs when you were competing against each other, and then when you guys started teaming. And what was it like working with Alex Wright and doing that?
It was great because, like, you know, we would travel together, so basically you're rooming with your friend and like working with them on a daily basis. So but that was back in the back at the time, they didn't really care about the mid card, so you know, we never really got a push. But, you know, still we'd have to go out there and wrestle these 12-minute, you know, matches on TV and everything just for the sake of wrestling. But, like, you know, that was the deal. If they would have put some heat on us, we probably would have, you know, gotten over more than we did. But, you know, it was what it was. So, but I enjoyed it.
And probably your most high profile stint on the Nitro during the Nitro Wars was when you were actually an associate to the NWO, I believe the Wolfpack. How did that come about? Because I mean that kind of put you maybe not in the main event, but it put you with main eventers.
This is how easy to, like, how the inmates ran the asylum. Okay? Like, Nash and Hogan and Scott Hall, like, all the top guys had so much pull that they would give them their stuff to do, and Scott Hall would say, well, let me bring Disco out and do this spot with them out there. Okay? And they go, and they just say yes because they didn't want to argue with them. So, basically, they never actually, for, like, the first 2 months of it, they never wrote me into it. Scott Hall would just say, hey, you're going to do this spot with me tonight and everything. And just then basically just like, you know, he's the one that basically just got me in there. And like, you know, him and Nash would just include me in all their stuff. So the point was it turned into a storyline that was never actually written in by the booking committee, that the boys just basically said, okay, let's bring this guy out here and do it with us. That's how bad the inmates were in the asylum back then.
Wow.
I'm not complaining.
Now, I know we need to let you go because we don't want to make you late for work, but my last question is, you were just on Impact a couple weeks ago, and it got stomped down by Mr. Anderson, and I know you've been there as a backstage agent. Is the door open for you there? How's things with TNA?
That's it. Always a good relationship. The doors, you know, I may go back. I mean, I told her, like, me and Borash were joking today. Like, he's like, when are you coming back? I go, I don't know. My character has a concussion right now from the beating from Mr. Anderson, so I'm not cleared yet. But just let it be known that my character would, you know, really wants to kick that guy's ass for doing that to me. So you never know.
Now, just so I have two last questions. One real quick one and one a longer one. But the real quick question is, and you had a match with Kurosawa when you were getting ready to feud with Dean Malenko, and he had to do the job to this horrible Disco ball shot. And I was just wondering, was he upset about that after the match?
I don't know if he was upset about it. You know that I hold victories over Kurosawa and Yuji Nagata?
Unbelievable.
I always said to myself, they should all, if they could have the video archive, all they would have to do is show that in Japan, and I could be a main event in the freaking Tokyo Dome. He wasn't upset. It was a production glitch because the guy that dropped the ball dropped it too low, and so like it looked atrocious. But it was just, you know, it made it look like, it made, you know, it's one of those deals where it makes you look stupid, but it's not. There's nothing you can do. It's not your fault. You know, it's like, what are you gonna do? The production guy, dropped the ball literally wrong.
The only person that looked dumb in that was the ref. How he could have missed that ball.
Yeah.
Swinging, you know, just 4 feet above the ring. How he missed that is insane.
I cracked myself. I went on YouTube the other day and searched myself on YouTube. And one of the clips that comes up is I remember doing this line, but it was I was refereeing a match between David Young and Pat Kenny in TNA. Okay, and I've got the referee shirt on and everything. And I always want to say this, like, I come out, I get on the mic, and I say, just want to reiterate for everybody that just because I have this referee shirt on doesn't automatically make me an idiot.
Now, this before my last question is, everyone knows that you, I'm actually, where do you work at? Do you work at Sapphire's or?
Yeah, I work at Sapphire.
Okay. Well, I'm sure everybody's either going to want to hear you either tell at least one story about a crazy-ass stripper or one story of you having to kick somebody's ass out of the club.
No, I don't. I never have to get any physical confrontations because we got guys that are like 10 times bigger than I do that take care of all that. And all they have to do is show up, and they just show up, and then people just like stand down. You know, everybody's scared of them. And it doesn't get crazy in there. Crazy stories? I don't really know. We had a girl that worked there had a. What do you want to call it? Mental breakdown out in the front of the club, and showed up with her dog in her underwear and topless out in the front of the club that just wouldn't leave.
Wow.
And it's kind of scary, you know, because, like, you know, you work with the girl, and then, like, all of a sudden she's had, like, one of these, like, she went crazy, like, schizophrenic crazy, and she, you know, you're trying to, like, talk to her, like, I don't know, don't know. So like, picture somebody you know that you think's normal, and then they show up to your house in their underwear, naked, and talking crazy stuff. You know, and like okay, so you know, the cops had to come and subdue her and like mace her instead of this ridiculous term, like the Exorcist.
Oh my!
Yes, that
unreal.
Yeah,
unreal.
Okay.
I was just going to say, you don't have anything coming up, nothing to plug. You're just out here, the goodness of your heart, huh?
No indie
shows.
I'm going to try this. I'm going to go to Future Stars, a wrestling show they got out here. I'm going to go to their next show and everything. Me and Joe DeFalco are pretty good friends, so. You know, I mean, not the real, because I only work for a few select promoters, because they, you know, guys I know that they pay, and they're going to pay me, and then there's going to be people there. And, you know, I got my health still, I'm still in good shape, but it's just, I just don't pursue it, because, I got a full-time job. But, I mean, if the door's always open, though.
Well, cool.
Well,
man.
Thanks
for being with us tonight.
Yeah, I want to thank you for being with us. In fact, we didn't even come close to getting to everything we wanted to, so hopefully we'll be able to get you in the future again.
I'll be on again. No problem. Have me on again,
cool.
Guys.
Oh, man. Well,
thanks so much
for taking your time.
We can call part two.
Definitely. Well, thanks so much, Glenn. You get to work and make that dollar.
All right, thanks, brother.
All right,
thank you, man.
Bye-bye.
Wow. That was fun.
And I just noticed our other co-host is on the line. I hope he hasn't been on there too long and missed out. Contreras, are you there?
I have a question.
Oh,
sure,
man,
what do you got? I'm just kidding. I don't have a question. He's not even on the air anymore.
How long have you been on hold, dude? I'm sorry. I didn't take the switchboard for like the last couple minutes.
Not long, just a couple minutes.
Okay. Well, you missed a great interview, dude. We didn't even scratch the surface, really. I mean, we need a schedule where we can get up for like an hour.
He's one of those guys, you know, it's like Prazak, man. You just ask one little thing like, hey, how's the weather? And he'll go on for, you know, 5-10 minutes.
Have you seen his new switchboard?
Yeah, I have. It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's... I don't even know. It just looks a lot brighter. It didn't look as bland as the other one. I don't know what all it does yet. So
it looks even more technical and more bright colors and everything. It's all fancy.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Well, I want to call out the big elephant in the room. Contreras, you have some news for us this evening?
Oh, I just did that to get downloads.
Disco Inferno was not enough. You need to tease leaving the show.
I was fucking around on Facebook this morning. Hey, maybe I'll fuck around with some folks.
Well, like I told Craig earlier, you can't quit because you're the one paying Block Talk, and I'm not paying Block Talk if you quit.
Yeah.
We're going to Squat Skype next week.
You know how much technical difficulties there would be if you tried to use Skype?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got Block Talk here. It just pretty much does everything for you.
Well, I know most of the guys that do shows for Brian, they all use Skype, and they usually don't have problems with it, so I don't know.
Well, they don't always.
They don't have me and fucking running the switchboard. You're like,
that's,
you know,
true.
So.
But I was very upset earlier this week when I got cursed by a mad woman on Facebook.
You know, this is what's hilarious about that is she, like, refuses to cuss on Facebook. I have never, ever seen her cuss at all. And then the next thing I know, she's telling you how you're fucking asking fucking retarded questions. And I was like,
she made two posts. Wow. She made one post, and then she came back and cussed me again.
She was pissed, man. She's out here with some asshole just talking shit about me and the Spurs. And then she was like, who was that asshole? I was like, I was one of my co-hosts. And then she felt bad. But yeah, dude, she never. I mean, she's totally against. She has her grandparents, her kids' grandparents, and you know, all family. But and never ever cusses. And when I saw that fucking in there, I was like, holy shit! That was
kind of turned me on, to be honest.
It's amazing how you can bring out the best in people.
Yeah, but
well, I had to do that. I had to throw that up there for Ed. I mean, Dallas won the thing the other night. So.
Oh, yeah.
Turn around.
Oh, well.
Whatever. They don't win while they're in the final until, like, the last week of the last game or something. Like, I know anything about free sports.
I just wish the Miami fans would have fucking, you know, would have kicked it in gear and fucking rioted like they did in Vancouver. Miami and planes and looting everywhere. And
people like that are the reason I don't watch sports.
You know, we're literally like 2.5 hours away from Vancouver, and it was ugly. You know, they at one point, like, a police officer got on the horn, you know, the bullhorn, and said, "You are embarrassing the city of Vancouver." You know, and it came out today that basically we had years ago, gosh, it's been almost 10 years ago, we had something called the WTO riots. And basically there are anarchists who came up from the Portland area, and they were armed with, you know, ski masks and lighter fluid. And basically their thing is they go to where a big crowd is and they start doing a few things, and everybody goes, "Hey, that looks like fun." And everybody joins in. So they start doing things like lighting a cop car on fire or breaking a store window, and then everybody gets the idea, "Oh, those guys are doing it," and then it becomes a mob mentality. Well, the same thing happened up in Vancouver. These anarchists come in, they you know, they bust in a couple of windows, they turned an SUV over, and the next thing you know, they have a small riot, 100 people are hurt, and allegedly, and I say this allegedly again, some Vancouver fans threw a Boston fan off of an overpass.
Jesus Christ.
And he's in critical condition in the hospital. It's not funny, but it's like, are you kidding me? And I've been to Vancouver hundreds of times. Okay, maybe dozens of times. And I have had nothing but a great time with those people, been up there for concerts and shows, and they just, you know, they drink and they smoke their weed, and they're just cool people to hang out with. And I have never seen them, you know, get upset. And to see that on the news, and it really shocked me, because that's not the way people from Vancouver are.
Yeah, like you just mentioned, how people from Vancouver. Okay, as many Canadians as I know is very limited compared to you being so close. Like, I basically know guys like,
sure,
Doc G, Sideswipe, Freeway, Barty Boy, and a few other guys. And
Dufino.
These are guys who I have never ever seen not only raise their voice, but not be in a very calm, cool, collective state of mind. It's like,
right.
It's like, yeah, I think people freak out because you don't expect that for Canadians. It's like, you know, Canadians, I guess, are supposed to be like boring, calm people, and all of a sudden they just went fucking absolutely insane. And we're actually getting a call here, and I think it's someone, I think he's a little late to the party, but I'll go ahead and take the call here. Caller calling from Las Vegas, who's this?
What's going on, Ed? I got a chance to listen to your interview with Disco.
What do you think? Pretty good, right?
That was very good. That was one of the best interviews I think you guys have had.
You should check out Skid Marks
like
from last week. We had Ryan
I didn't
Ryan
hear that.
On last week. That was actually,
I
enjoyed that.
That
a
was
lot.
Good?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, Disco, you don't have to really say too much. You can have about 5 or 6 questions for him, and you can get a good half hour.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, you ask him, you know, how's the weather? And, he, you know, 30 minutes later, you're like, oh, okay, so it's sunny. But, he just goes on and on. He's great.
It's probably the first wrestling show he's been on in a year at least.
Well, that's because I'm such a good talker and I can charm people onto the show.
You did a good job. You did a good job. But I didn't hear too much out of you.
Well, we're taking turns, so. You know,
okay.
I let Disco talk, but Craig did ask your question at that was the very first thing, and he says he's 98% healthy with the foot.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, the foot.
Yeah. Okay. I heard about the strip club talk too. You had to throw that one in at the end,
and that was Ed's question, of course.
Of course. And the thing is, when you work in the club, now he has seen, I'm sure, hundreds of things, but you really don't talk about it.
Right.
Because you always have that fear. I used to talk about it, but I always had that fear that someone was going to hear it at the club, and then they suspend you for the week because they don't want that stuff getting out. So,
right.
In a big club that he's in, and he's in the biggest, that's the biggest club in the world. It's literally the biggest strip club in the world for space.
I'll be darned.
He's seen everything. But he is right, though. He's at the front where you come in through the ropes, and he just opens the ropes and checks ID.
Hmm.
So that's where he is.
Now, Mike, you're a pretty big dude. Have you got any altercations at the clubs that you want to talk about?
Well, no, I have. I've gotten a lot more because, see, he's in a nicer club. He's at Sapphires, which is and he doesn't have to do anything. They have hosts, which he is, and then they have maybe 6 or 7 security. So all he's got to do is get on the radio and, you know, call them up. Where I worked the door, you know, Scores was pretty easy because it was, you know, it was a high-class joint like his. But Crazy Horse and Penthouse and them, yeah, I've gotten a lot. I've gotten a lot of fights.
Yeah, there was a pretty low clientele at that. What was it? The one by Manly Bay?
Yeah, that's crazy. See, that one was the worst because I literally worked outside by myself. So there was constant stuff, and that one had a after-hours party. So, you know, you get there at 9, you're having a great time till 3, and then when you just want to go home, now the riffraff show. You know, so, yeah, I've gotten... Ed's the only one that would come into he's the only guy that would show up at the strip club with the money in his hand as he would walk through the door. The last time you were there, Ed, I called in and I said, look, my buddy's here. I forget who I hooked you up with, but I said, bring her up to the front. I don't remember which one it was.
She was just a hot Asian, that's all I remember.
Yeah. And you literally walked in, your mouth was open, you were sweaty, fat, you looked like shit. And you came strolling in and you had that money in your hand, and you came outside less than an hour later and it was gone.
Oh, you know what? You're thinking about... Okay, we're talking about two different times. The one you're talking about is when I went there, when it was for the Rashad Horace Griffin fight. And I went in there and only had like $300. And I hooked up with two Asians. You sent two Asian girls to me.
Yes,
and,
I did.
They took all my money within 20 to 30 minutes. And I went outside and hung out with you for about 2 hours at the door. And got to talk to you and watching you in action, telling everyone.
You got to see me talking to how I get to talk to everybody and the girls that were coming out. It's so different being in a health food store because at the strip club, you got to be a dickhead. You know, you got to be a dickhead. You don't want to fight. I don't want to fight with anybody. I'm too old to be fighting.
Health food store different than strip club.
Yeah, health food store, I got to be, you know, like Sam Malone from Cheers. You got to be in a good mood, be happy. Everyone, same guys come in. Glenn comes in. You know, so you got to be in a good mood. Where at the club, you got to be a dick. You know, you really do. I kind of fall in between a both, so it was a good mix, you know. But yeah, that day, Ed, you stood outside with me for a while. You came.
That's
as a matter of fact, I hate to say this, but you came out. I don't think your shirt was done.
Well, they tried to bite off my nipples before I left. So.
That's right.
Yeah. I was in pain. I was in pain, but in good spirit.
Yeah. How much? Let me ask you one question before I go here. But good job with the shows, and you're still on double probation on Facebook, Ed. Any lewd remarks, and you're banned and blocked. But you've been good so far. But how much money do you think? Because the first night I met you, I think I was working at the Spearmint Rhino, and it was the night I threw Ron Jeremy's father out.
Oh. Yeah, that's where I met you very briefly. I met you very briefly that night.
You had girls with you.
Friend.
You had that little Asian girl.
No,
I'm noticing a pattern here.
I was with a black girl that night. It was a black Jamaican girl. And I remember
but who was the other one?
Jungle Fever.
Yes, he does, Rio.
Sure.
Rio.
Oh, that was at Yeah, I hadn't met her. I just talked to you about her. I had met her years before at Sub Paradise, but she wasn't at the Spearmint that night. It was just this one black girl.
But the bottom line is this. I've known you for about 5 years. You've probably been to the strip club maybe
longer.
Yeah,
you're asking me how much money I've spent the most.
How much money have you spent in the strip club?
Well, going back to Rio, which wasn't that night, but Rio is the girl that I spent the most money on. And it wasn't just Rio, it was Sherry. Sherry was the head girl at Sub Paradise. I'm sure you remember her.
Yes.
She was like the head show girl on Splash for like years. Anyway, on the two of them, I spent about 5 to 6 hours in the VIP room. I bought two $300 bottles of champagne, and I had them with me the whole time. I think I dropped over close to $3,000 that night.
Jesus. Yeah, so it's safe to say you've spent over $5,000.
And that is why I no longer take plastic to Las Vegas. That's why it's cash only.
Where do you run that card?
Yeah. Anyway. But his mother took that card away from him. He doesn't have that card anymore.
Yeah, I'm going out very, very, very soon after Vegas.
Yeah. But good show, guys. Good job with Disco. Contreras, it's nice to have you back on.
Thank you.
Quite frankly, the show needs you. It's a mess without you. So,
and that's right.
Yes. So, good job, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
cool,
Mike.
Talk to you later, man.
Take it easy.
You know, I used to, when we go out, like me and my friends on the weekends and stuff, and, you know, you're going to go out to the bar, so you go to the ATM, you get you, I don't know, sometimes you get you like $50 or $60 or something like that, or maybe even $100, and like the next morning, you don't know where the fuck it went. It's gone. I mean, you know, you just keep spending and spending, don't even think about it. I couldn't imagine spending $3,500. And
I'm going to blow your mind right now. I have never in my life, God is my witness, ever, ever been in a strip club.
What is wrong with you, Craig?
I have no desire to go. I just, that's not my scene.
Like, no point, and you don't do nothing but lose money.
That's fair, but I just never been. I don't care to go. I'm happy.
Even Brian goes to strip clubs. Even Brian, and speaking of Jungle Fever, I've seen Brian at a strip club, and I've seen who Brian gets dances from at a strip club, and even Ben Miller was getting lap dances once. And you know what? Even Todd Martin got some lap dances at one time. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
You haven't been to a strip club until you've been to a redneck strip club. It's like out in the middle of the woods in a big trailer.
I don't want to go to one of those strip clubs.
I used to go to them out in the country, and I don't know. I quit going because, well, when I went there with money, I spent all of it. And if I'm going to go there, I have to spend money. I don't want to sit there and just look like some kind of a pervert not spending money when they come up at you. They want a lap dance, you know? So I just stopped going altogether. But it was cool because you could take your own beer.
Yeah, we have some of those. I don't know how it works like everyone else, but here in Texas, the ones that are bring the BYOB are actually full nude.
So anyway, getting back to our wrestling podcast that we do here, if you want to hear some good radio, go back and listen to the Just Me by Myself while Ed's calling Disco Inferno. That was some great radio, by the way.
What did he talk about, by the way?
You had to call Disco, and you left me on the line by myself because obviously I wasn't here to talk to Contreras because he hadn't gone on yet. So that's some great radio, just me by myself, waxing philosophically. Anyway,
I could have played a clip, but I wanted to make you suffer, Craig.
Yeah. Anyway, the pay per view this weekend. Let's chat about that.
I'm going to Strike Force.
You're going to Strike Force?
No.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about the WWE pay-per-view this weekend.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I do have a pay-per-view.
Capital Combat.
Yeah. That's right. With the worst promos ever, and hopefully they'll be over and we'll never have to see them again.
Who's that?
All three?
The ones with Obama, the fake Obama, those are horrid.
You
didn't like Seamus?
Asking a question as you're doing that. Yeah! At the end of it.
Yeah, Craig, you just have bad taste and everything. You like strip clubs. You don't like awesome promos with our president of the United States, you know, promoting a WWE pay-per-view. You know what I mean?
Really?
Man,
those are
just,
so
like,
bad.
Un-American. Un-American, dude.
Okay, anyway. So, I'm from the WWE website. That would be WWE.com. We have the first matchup, Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk.
Probably be the best match of the whole show.
More than likely. Yeah, I could see that. This is their fourth or fifth match that they've had on some kind of televised event. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say CM Punk wins this one.
Yeah, he did pin Zayn on Monday, so they could be going to have him beat Ray and then maybe be challenger the next month or something like that, you know?
Right.
Because next month
Alex
is money
Riley
in the bank, and they could use, like, just like a CM Punk, John Cena title match, like in between that kind of stuff.
Right.
So.
That's not a bad idea, actually. Alex Riley versus The Miz, I expect, much like Dave, I expect some kind of a double DQ or some schmoz at the end. I don't think anybody goes over, and I know for sure The Miz won't get over.
The Miz, you said The Miz isn't going to get over. The Miz is already over. You know, I mean, Brian can bitch about all the things that they're doing wrong with him, and yes, they are doing a lot of things wrong with him, but The Miz is still The Miz. He's going to be in that same spot. He's going to be, you know, he's not going to go over on the guys, but he's still a main eventer. He's still going to be on some of the top angles on Raw. The Miz is fine. The Miz is fine. I mean, yes, they could be doing better things with him, but it's not a death sentence for this guy, because this guy can talk, and it don't matter how many times you beat his ass, he can still talk. He's going to be fine. There's nothing wrong. You know, it's not as bad as, you know, people make it out to be.
The only reason I think Miz might go over is because he's really gotten no comeback whatsoever on Alex Riley in, like, the 4 weeks they've been doing all this stuff. He's got his ass kicked, like, every week. So just from regular booking, it just seems like they would have Miz maybe go over, even though I think I would either be fine with a double DQ or a Riley win. I don't think Miz should win yet.
Riley's getting over pretty good, and to much shock to everybody, to be honest with you. I really hope they don't job him out. If they do a double DQ, if they do a count out, whatever, that's fine. But if Riley loses, he's going to lose all that momentum that he's gained in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Plus, the match would be good because since his turn, we really haven't seen him in the ring. There was that one tag team match, but other than that, so I think he needs to be in a pretty good performance, you know, in this match.
Yeah, he totally needs to step up.
He really should win, but unfortunately, you know, more than likely, he's either going to be a double DQ or he's going to do the job. But this is a match where he should win, but you just know they can't pull the trigger on it. You know they can't do that.
It's true. Next up, Big Show versus Alberto Del Rio.
It'll be okay. I don't hate the Big Show as much as most people do, but I think it'll be, as far as work rate, of course, it's not going to be good, but hopefully Del Rio will be awesome. Hopefully Ricardo will be awesome. And, Big Show is actually a pretty funny guy, but I don't really see him going for the company.
He killed that guy last Monday. He destroyed him.
Yeah. Ricardo's dead.
Yeah, but okay,
if they let Alberto do his over-the-top, almost comedy selling, I think this will be a fun match.
Yeah, especially for the Big Show, because it'll work with the Big Show.
Exactly.
The Big Show wouldn't have to really even do too much, and he could do his wacky selling. And, I see him winning. He'll win somehow. But, I don't think it'll be as bad. I mean, it's not going to be nothing to write home about. It'll be in the lower class of matches by the end of the night, but I think it'll be all right. I'm fine as long as Del Rio's out there. I mean, from the second he pulls his car out, you know, he puts on a show, and, you know, I'm entertained as long as he's out there, so.
Definitely. Next up, this should be probably the worst match on the show, if not the entire weekend. And by weekend, I mean the next month. Intercontinental Championship, Wade Barrett versus Ezekiel Jackson. And I was there live for the last month's show. And how Ezekiel got over with the fans, I still don't understand. His body slam finisher has got to be the worst finisher I've ever seen.
I don't know. It's kind of like,
you know,
it's kind of like an old school thing. It's just a simple body slam.
It is
over and over and over. You know, it's funny.
It is. I remember when I first started watching wrestling, the Rock and Roll Express would use a double drop kick as a finisher. Yeah. So I expect. Oh gosh, you know what? I can't even say who's going to win this. They should let Zeke win, but Wade really does need to win.
I keep it on Wade. I mean, I don't know. Ezekiel, I just see him as another big, you know, muscle head guy, I guess. I see more Wade.
You know, they want to push him, and, you know, he's a big dude. He is a big dude, but it's not like his – Ahmed Johnson was more impressive physically looking. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I don't think – he's big, but I don't think he's, like, Superman looking. You know what I mean? And he can't really look that great. I mean, if he can get the body slam spot over, that'd be cool. But I didn't see the pay-per-view. I only saw him do it once the other night on Raw. And the crowd really wasn't, like, super into it or anything. So unless he's going to pull out, like, fucking 8, 9, or 10 of them, you know, I don't think the crowd's always going to react the way they did in Seattle. So
yeah.
To me, he's just a smaller version of Mark Henry, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's good to have a big guy around, but he shouldn't be getting pushed. I mean, he doesn't have charisma. He has less charisma than Mark Henry, and, you know what I mean? All he has is his body, and I just don't think that's worthy of him getting the push that he's getting.
Mm.
And Barrett has more potential in the long run.
Next up, we got Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler. I expect this to be very good. You know what? They should really pull the trigger on Dolph, to be honest with you. It's time.
I'm thinking he's gonna win the match.
Yeah.
Did you guys freak out on, you know, when he was doing commentary the other night? Because he had done commentary before on SmackDown, and he was god awful. He fucking sucked. And then when he did it on Raw the other night, he was freaking awesome. It was like a totally different person. It's like, what the hell happened? I mean, I think he's ready, dude. He's ready to get a little more push, and, you know, they could do something with him. And
then again, supporting Zack Ryder and knocking the company for not putting him on TV, so he may not win the match.
Ooh, that's no good. he really needs a big shove right now. I could actually see him winning the title, getting rid of Vicky, and turning babyface.
I don't really see him as a babyface yet. I don't see him there yet. But speaking of Vicky,
if he got rid of Vicky, go ahead.
Speaking of Vicky, and she lost so much weight. Do you guys consider her fuckable now?
I'm not gonna answer that. That's just a crude way to put it.
Okay, I'll answer it. I say yes.
Next match, Greg.
I'm a happily married man. Anyway, getting back to next match, we've got now. Here's the thing: on the match lineup, they have at the top of the list Randy Orton versus Christian. Now, I am under the impression that we know Randy Orton has a concussion, and he got one less than a week ago.
Yeah.
So, is this match actually going to happen? And if so, it should headline.
I've got an update here on the site.
Says, okay.
Randy Orton was taken to Dr. Joseph Maroon's controversial impact testing today.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds weird. Okay.
Okay.
To see if he will be cleared to wrestle Christian on Sunday's pay-per-view. If not cleared, the match will not take place. Says Orton suffered a concussion on Sunday, wrestling Christian and Sheamus in a three-way in Madrid.
and it was claimed on TV that the injury took place from a belt shot from Christian the previous Tuesday at SmackDown. So,
okay.
So this is like the if he passes his testing, he can work basically.
Hmm.
Either way,
controversial because after such a short time, I don't know if you know what kind of test this actually is to an adequate test on if he's actually still suffering from the concussion or whatever. I don't know. I don't understand this.
Either way, this is what they should do. If he can wrestle the match, they didn't work a match where he's a little loopy the whole match and basically he ends up losing because he gets punched in the head or something like that. If he can't work the match, I would prefer they just gave it to Christian, but I kind of see them wanting to do a match, and unfortunately the other people would be other heels. I don't know how much the match would actually get over, say, if it was Christian versus Sheamus for the title, or Christian versus Mark Henry, God forbid. But, you know, either way, Christian should come out of this somehow with the title back. And that's what I'm hoping happens.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, one of the biggest things that got me back in the 90s was the angle they did with Shawn Michaels and Owen Hart.
That was awesome.
They haven't dug that up for a long time. And if it's possible, this would be a great time to do it.
That was awesome. I remember watching that live on Raw that one night. I said, what the hell is going on? Because, you know, they build up the concussion stuff from when he got his ass whipped by those guys from the Army or some of the Marines or something like that, and he got into concussion.
Yeah.
He collapsed in the ring, and then Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler both just standing there like they don't know what's going on, like he's dead or something. I mean, that was weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was such a great angle. I remember, you know, turning off Raw, and my daughter was in tears, and she went to bed and actually could hear her praying for Shawn Michaels, and it was all an angle. It was done so well. But anyway, if this match does take place, it should headline. It should be the main event. But if it doesn't take place, of course, your main event will be John Cena versus R-Truth.
Yeah, R-Truth is the best thing on WWE TV the last few weeks. I don't care if he looked like a goof wearing that stupid costume. I marked out and I laughed my ass off. He was awesome in that segment.
I giggled and giggled and giggled. That was so funny. And how they kept it away from the racist angle, I have no idea how they kept it away from there, because I was waiting for him to go down that road, and well, they didn't, but they dodged a bullet there. I think this is actually going to be a pretty good match. You know, John Cena steps it up on pay-per-view night, and I've seen R-Truth have some very good matches, so I'm not going to go 4 stars or anything, but I think it'll be good.
And it's a new match, so, I mean, we really haven't seen
exactly
them work so against each other, so it's something new. I can see this, I don't know, if it takes place like before the Orton-Christian match, I could see them not doing a finish, or maybe doing some kind of screw job thing to lead to maybe next month or something like that.
Right. This is one of those pay-per-views where there's all these matches on the show, and to be honest with you, I don't want to see any of them actually come to a finish. I don't want to see, you know, that's the end of the run and this is the last match that they'll have. Sans Wade Barrett and Ezekiel Jackson. But, you know, realistically, Alex Riley and The Miz should not have a finish, and it should continue. R-Truth and John Cena should not have a finish. It should continue. Randy Orton and Christian shouldn't have a finish, and the storyline should continue. It's kind of a weird pay-per-view like that. I would like to see, you know, clean finishes, but on this pay-per-view, I could see a lot of them not being clean finishes.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I think the match will be good. I mean, I'm a bigger John Cena fan than most of Mark like us. And, I mean, R-Truth is just, I can't believe how awesome he's been. I mean, I was always a fan, but, I mean, it's not like, you know, I was always begging to see R-Truth wrestle. I mean, for a while there, it was actually kind of when they tried switching songs, you know, that wasn't working at all. You know, I was actually thinking he might not be around for too much longer. And they're
right.
giving him you talk about giving a guy the ball and running with it. I mean, him as a heel, he's been awesome. I mean, the little Jimmy stuff is fucking hilarious.
Oh,
and
amazing.
See, I'm a good R-Truth, and I mean, he's just I always loved him at TNA because he was always good at doing like the movie previews or the stuff with Conan and DJ, and he was always funny. I mean, he's finally getting his break, and I think he's doing a great job with it. But you never know how people will, you know, the wrong person doesn't think he's doing a good job backstage, even though everyone else does. I mean, that could be it for him, but. I hope they keep pushing him. I hope they make him it's one of these things that actually, I kind of hoping he gets the Edge treatment where, you remember, they gave Edge the title, but they didn't take it seriously. It was just going to be a transition, and he wouldn't have got it over, and they had to go with it. So hopefully that same thing will happen with R-Truth.
Well, I just found something. I'm going to be watching the rest of this evening. I found the Warriors released his videos on Hulk Hogan.
Oh, wow.
Like this 60-minute shoot thing he'd been talking about.
Right.
Like a different part. So I'm going to have to check this out here after a while.
Well, I got something to do tonight now. that guy is either totally telling the truth or he's the biggest liar in the world. I don't think there's any in-between with this guy. I think he's either totally dead on, no lying, or he's completely full of crap.
I mean, just from, like, in his real life, just, like, some way he speaks, he comes off like an intellectual person. I mean, comes
sure.
off very smart sometimes. So, that's why I was just, I don't know what to think of these videos, like, whether true or not, or anything like that. So, I don't know.
That dude is so wacky here. But, let me get the plugs out here before I forget real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks Show, Mecha Minutia, and six, seven, eight, nine, ten other shows. And so check out AngryMarks.com. And we got about 7 minutes here. And
actually, I have a plug for Stevie J. He said, "Hey Craig, when Ed does the plugs at the end, can you mention that we had the legendary Les Thatcher on Angry Marks podcast yesterday?" And anyway, check that out on the AngryMarks.com, the podcast with Les Thatcher.
And check out our archives because we've probably got about 5 or 6 better interviews with Les Thatcher on the archives. We're the number one show on the Angry Marks podcasting network. But anyway, let's go ahead and change the subject here. 6 minutes left. I kind of brought this up last week, but I hadn't been able to see the movie. But I know Craig's actually seen the movie. I don't know if Trey has. But Craig, I watched X-Men First Class. And I'm a big comic book mark, and I'm a big comic book critic. So I love the comic book movies, but I also, at the same time, there are things that I dislike about most of them because, you know, they don't follow storyline or whatever. And with that said, up until this point, and everyone disagrees with me, but up until this point, my favorite, or what I consider the best comic book movie, was Daredevil, because Daredevil stayed true to the actual comic book. And it's not that bad. I know people hate Ben Affleck, but it was not that bad. He was great on Matt Murdock. And it wins the vote just for the death scene of Elektra is straight out of the comic book. When I watched I had chills watching that. So that kind of you know, played a big part to me thinking that was the best one. But like I said, I know people are free to disagree with me. That's fine. I don't care. But I watched X-Men First Class, and as far as the 4 X-Men movies, this one had probably the least special effects. And they even get some criticism that the CG wasn't that great or whatever. But as far as storyline, and they did change stuff in the storyline, you know, which is stuff that fans like me don't like. But as far as storyline and as far as the characters, this is my new favorite comic book movie of all time. Magneto is just fucking an incredible character. I mean, Jesus Christ, that guy was awesome. And You know, it almost even forgot that he was that Professor X, you know, turned into a cripple. I mean, I totally forgot that until he's like, I can't feel my legs, and it's like, oh my god, you know, that was, you know, that was pretty good scene. What did you think of the movie?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it, like as you said, I think it's the best of the four so far, and it really set up the other three movies. Of course, as a prequel. And, yeah, I really enjoyed it. In fact, last week I did something I haven't done in years. My wife said, how long has it been since you've been to the drive-in? And did some math, and I don't know, maybe 7-8 years. And so we got in the car, and there's one drive-in left in this state, and we found it. And yeah, we just had a good time, man.
Did you make out?
You know, I might have. It's none of your business. Anyway, yeah, it's, there's the drive-in, and, you know, you bring your own stuff, and Pirates of the Caribbean 4 was after that one, which is also probably one of the better ones of the four, and, yeah, it's good times.
Are you going to see Green Lantern this weekend, Ed?
I'm probably going to wait till I can see it on the internet, but I have been watching the animated, like a while back they made like an animated movie version, like the Avengers,
yep.
Or like so, and it was actually pretty good. And then they just made a new one called Emerald Knights, which is more about the Green Lantern Corps and certain members, and that was actually pretty cool. I like watching those cartoons, and it's kind of got me excited. Fortunately, from what I hear, every review of it's pretty bad, but that
mm-hmm.
doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not going to like it, so I'm looking forward to seeing it, but I probably won't see it at a theater, but, you know, I am looking forward to seeing it. I think they got a good choice as the actual Green Lantern. I mean, that dude's actually pretty cool and pretty funny, so we'll see how it goes, but I do recommend the animated cartoon Green Lantern, so if you're into that, check those out.
Yeah, I want
to
say it's getting, like, movie reviews. I want to say it's getting like 22% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's getting buried. So you might want to save your money and go see Cars 2.
Well, realistically, there hadn't been a good superhero movie since Superman 2. So all of it's crap.
Okay.
Did you say so? But we got 2 minutes to go. So, Katrina, any last thing you want to talk about real quick?
Yeah, I talked about The Human Centipede last week, so I looked up the sequel. And can I read this description of the sequel real quick?
Oh, if you have to.
Okay.
The film centers on an antagonist called Martin, who becomes sexually obsessed with a DVD recording of the original movie, The Human Centipede.
And so he watches the original movie, and
uh-huh.
he becomes sexually aroused by it, so he masturbates with sandpaper wrapped around his pecker.
Good Lord.
Then he subsequently creates his own 12-person human centipede and gains sexual gratification from the pain, humiliation, and suffering of his victims. And he ends up raping the person on the end with a barbed wire wrapped around his penis. I have to see this film. This is going to be awesome. I'll send y'all a copy and we can review it on the air.
I don't know. I may or may not be watching that movie, but
yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, but Craig,
you don't,
think,
you don't understand the art in the beauty of the film.
Any last words? Go to the drive-in this weekend. Take your wife and go to the drive-in or loved one. Anyway, that's
well.
About it.
Fortunately, there's not very many
good movies
left. In fact, San Antonio had one of the very few last ones, and unfortunately, this past year they retired it and closed it down. They're keeping two of the screens as like landmarks, but yeah, unfortunately, drive-ins are a thing of the past here in San Antonio. In fact, when I was little, when I was like in elementary, maybe a little bit in the middle school, there was actually a second drive-in here in San Antonio, and it was only one screen. And it had, like, a real fancy-ass picture of a cowboy on the back of the screen. And the screen was facing, of course, away from the main street that it was on. And it was actually it was actually a XXX drive-in theater.
Oh, gee.
When I was little and would go to visit my grandmother in like South Louisiana, they had those places. I always wanted to ask her what they were. She would never tell me. I just saw 3 X.
Well, that was decent of her.
Yeah, you just see 3 X and you see shit like Taboo, The Devil and this Girl. You know, all the old school 80s horrible things. I was always, well, how come we don't ever go to that driving? Oh, man. But unfortunately, it's no longer there. It hasn't been there in years. But oh, well. I have my memories of the how it looked. But we got our last minute here, so we'll go ahead and end the show here. Do we have anything planned for next week?
Working on a couple guests. We might. I'm not going to throw out any names because I've been burned. So I'm working on a couple guests. If not, we can always do the fallback on the invasion angle for WCW.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. All right, then. So either hopefully we'll have
or you can watch the Warrior videos and we can review them next week.
Oh, that's not a bad idea,
too.
Actually.
Yeah,
we can
do send them to me. Yeah, send it to me.
YouTube it, brother.
It's just a lot of work, so just send it to me, sure.
Go to YouTube,
oh,
type in Warrior, hit enter.
It will come up. Also, this is an exclusive for the listeners of our show. I've got some information about the F4W T-shirts. Looks like they're going to go to press. Get printed up probably this week or next, and I should be doing some pre-orders here very soon. It looks like they're going to be right around $25, and that'll include shipping.
You got my my polo versions for the VIPs of the website, like myself?
Well, I can't say that on the air, Ed, but yeah, anyway.
What was the design that y'all finally, were you going with all the designs or something?
The first one. It's just the small logo on the front. And we'll be doing some more later on. So,
cool.
There
now,
you go.
Now, before we go, you have to pass along a little message to your little midget friend, Brian Alvarez.
Ah.
Okay, you tell him that whenever he doesn't do the Friday update, he needs to clear that shit with me and tell me that Dave's doing it so I can send Dave a plug and we can get our stuff advertised and have more live listeners and more downloads. And that's be like the day where I'm all excited to click on a news date and then there's no plug for our show because Brian didn't do it.
So just send it to Dave every time.
Yeah,
send it to Dave every time.
Then if I don't do it, then he'll know that Brian plugged it. So when I send it to Dave later in the week, he probably won't put it on there. So,
oh, goodness.
We need 3 plugs a week.
I like when Brian does the update because it don't take me long to flip down to the actual news and I don't need this, this big long Observer preview that Dave does.
Right.
It's on there regardless. What are you talking about?
It's not as long. Brian doesn't do it as long as Dave does.
Exactly.
Oh, I haven't even noticed. I'm so used to scrolling down, I haven't even noticed. But yeah.
Plus, I usually use my iPhone, so I gotta do the thing with my finger on my iPhone, so I could just keep going down to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Hey. Cool.
Well, anyway, we'll go ahead and end the show here. So, any final thoughts here?
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Have a great weekend. Nobody die.
All right. Cool. We'll talk to everybody next week. So, everybody come back next week. And if we have to change the schedule of the show to a different hour or a different day, we will let you know ahead of time. So, everybody come back then, and we will see everybody next week.
Johnny Ringo.
What's going on, John?
I love you, Johnny Ringo.
You must be Ringo.
Keep your hand on your gun.
Johnny Ringo. It's the deadliest pistol there since Wild Bill.
Damn, what was his name again?
Johnny Ringo. Johnny Ringo, are you still on the line?
The story spread throughout the land that I had beaten Ringo's hand. And it was just the years, they say, that made me put my guns away. But on his grave, they can't explain the tarnished star above the name of Ringo.
Ringo, Ringo, Ringo.
Well, I would like to say that I hate everyone more now than ever before, except Johnny Ringo. He's the only guy that I like.
Hey, this is Johnny Ringo. How are y'all?